This is the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with the Riders falling 40-34 to the Toronto Argonauts. We will hear from Corey Mace, but of course, this is the home of the fans. We go to the fans first on the Green Zone postgame show, and that's where we find Brandon tonight on his way back to Weyburn. Brandon, what are you thinking?
Well, first of all, honestly, this did not look like the championship team from last year. They come out flat. They look like a rookie team, not a championship team. But one of the things I really want to draw attention to was Toronto's blocking assignment. It was another level tonight. I was amazed and in awe just watching how they were executing their blocking assignments and special teams and run plays at different times. I think that really created the opportunities for the returner to do what he did. And he was just the cherry on top, but I would give more props to their blocking. It was incredible watching. There was a couple more opportunities that they were creating that he just managed to get tackled, but if there was that one last guy, the hole was there. It was huge. They were getting their assignments done, and I just wanted to bring that out. It was phenomenal to watch. I was in awe seeing that happen.
Yeah, it's interesting, Brandon, about the energy when it comes to blocking, and sometimes Tom Wilkinson, Daryl. Wilkie? Remember Tom Wilkie,
yeah, quarterback for the Edmonton Eskimos back in the days.
So
Lemmerman and Wilkinson.
And I've probably mentioned this once or twice in my history here on CJME and CKOM. But Wilkie, way back in the day, I was the host of the pregame show for the Eskimo broadcast on Chet, and Wilkie would come on and we'd chat before the game if he was in the building, and whoever Hugh Campbell might be in, he'd come on. And Wilkie said, "Do you know how to tell who's going to win a football game? Watch the opening kickoff." And I went, "What?" If you see one team and the other team has four guys on their backside and the other team standing up, you probably know who's going to win that night. And that's what Brandon's referencing. Just that want to. And it's weird. People, the teams are human, right?
Mm-hmm.
You should want it every game. There are just games where, for whatever reason, bad energy, for whatever reason, maybe it was the jerseys. Let's blame the jerseys.
A little complacency sets in, whatever reason it is.
Whatever it is, and you get woken up. And maybe that's the wake-up call. But, Brandon, when you said that, I was like, yeah, that's something I was noticing, sure, too. Where it's just like
too. Belton was talking about it earlier, right? Too, right? The special teams, especially the blocking schemes that they had set up.
It was one... Maybe more than once. They had two blockers coming. It was like, I don't know, maybe it was a return left call or something. But the blocking, it was there, because I thought for a couple times, I mean, Janarian Grant, if he get past that he is going to make a house call again here, right? And and again, he's amazing.
Why the heck did the Winnipeg Blue Bombers let him go?
I don't know, Daryl.
I have no idea. He's
but he is a weapon, for sure.
Truly,
whenever he gets the ball in his hand,
and he runs through
space,
people. He'll run through people.
And
too.
He will.
Yeah,
and I think he did get tripped up on one, one where I saw that kick return left. He got tripped up by the one last guy. I was like, man, if he had stayed up, he would have been gone again.
1-877-332-8255. Brandon, thanks for the call. As we'll go to Jace up next. Jace, what's on your mind after the Riders lost tonight?
Oh, boys, I called in last week talking about that field goal
return. Oh, we're going to put Jace on hold. Can we reconnect with Jace? I don't know what if his earbuds are not connected properly or what, but he sounds like he's a country mile away from his phone, and we'll try to get that worked out with Jace on the fan line. But it's interesting when the Riders have one like that, because it kind of comes as a surprise. Maybe it's because we're so used to it after a very, very, very successful season last year. We're like, oh, yeah, this is a bit of a new team, isn't it, with some learning.
Especially on defense. That's what we've been talking about, and that's what Belton is worried about, that the defensive line isn't as strong. The secondary is injured a little bit. They've changed up the
chemistry.
The linebacking core has changed, starters. It is a lot different of a team. I know a lot of people say it's not much, but 16 players off that 45-man winning roster of the Grey Cup are different, at least now more.
Well, Chase, try to call back if you can at 1-877-332-8255. But here we go. Corey Mace, post-game on this Rough Riders loss to the Toronto Argonauts. And I believe that the first question was about giving up that touchdown at the end of the first half.
No doubt. That's a tough one to give up. I thought there was a few momentum stealing. It was just wasn't complimentary tonight. I thought, there'd be times in defense, it was a rough night for the defense, but there's a time we get them two and out, and then, we're getting a return, offense is heating up, then we take crucial penalties, now we're moving even further backwards. I don't know, man, it just wasn't complimentary tonight, but yeah, definitely before the half, tough one.
Do you have to, as a coach, look at this year's team as its own thing and be careful not to look at last year's team to say, this team's going to learn? This team's going to make mistakes. This team's going to grow from it because it's a new season.
Oh, yeah. No, that's literally every year, 24 to 25, 25 to 26. That's why we always say, having the continuity certainly helps because it's just it's a wider ripple effect. But we had to learn a lot of things about ourselves last year. There's new challenges that we're going to have to learn about this team this year. You hate the feeling of what this feels like right now, but It's a learning lesson. We're going to have to address it, as a team. And that's obviously with myself first, and then the rest of the coaches and the players, man. But this is pro ball, and didn't work out for us today.
How important is adversity for a team and this first kind of taste of it for you guys?
Yeah, see, I don't think it's our first taste. I feel like, there was parts of it when you felt a little bit of adversity in the first 2 weeks, and I love how we responded. There was some grim moments, I thought, for us, a chance for guys to just hang their hat and kind of call it. These guys fought their asses off all the way down to the onside at the end there when we had a chance, and the guys were ready to go. So I'm not concerned about this group, about how they're going to, handle adversity. I know they're going to fight. The concern or the focus going forward is just executing the details of the game plan. You know what I mean? And then as coaches, continuing to make sure that we're trying to put them in the best positions, right?
Do you have an update on Sam Ellis? I know people are also wondering why he's back there returning punts at that time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's pro ball, man. We lost our returner. Sam's done it for us before. He's a good one. Didn't come back out there, but to say why is he returning? Well, why is our starting linebacker playing punt? You know what I'm saying? It's football. It's what we do. So, we'll see. I haven't gotten the update completely, but hopefully it's nothing crazy.
There's things you can learn from this. We don't have had a chance to see the film obviously yet. What are the things off the top of your head that you think you can extract for this? From this game and use them as building blocks?
Yeah, I think the main thing is, a lot of things that happened today, unfortunately that wasn't in our favor, were things that we kind of talked about all week. So it's again, it's just we can talk all we want, but we got to make sure that we understand the initiative, right? So, I could probably do a much better job getting these guys prepared for what those situations look like, watching some more stuff on film. And what to expect, but the main thing is, a lot of guys had to step up today, and there were definitely some positives, man, which is kind of, I'd hate to sit here, but there was a lot of positive. Young guys made some big plays today that I'm extremely proud of. That's going to help us going forward.
Piggybacking off that, Daniel Weeb, first CFL game, first touchdown. Saskatchewan guy.
Yeah.
What kind of moment was that?
It was just awesome. I mean, you saw everybody on the sideline, we know what that means to that kid and what it means to us, honestly. He just works his tail off. He sparked and gave us some juice. Really proud of that guy. I thought Conley played really well as well. Mims even, he got the catch at towards the end of the game there to keep pushing it. A lot of the young guys that we called on to make some plays, with Weeb, that was, I'm sure, a pretty cool moment, man. We needed it.
That is head coach Corey Mace after the game.
What'd you think of the answer about the MLS thing? It's just football and we got to move guys back there. Saying he's a great returner.
Don't make me curse on this.
Yeah, because the numbers don't prove him to be a great returner.
He's barely done it. And now I am relying on CFL stats, but I'm looking at the book here and I'm going, seven returns in his rookie season and hasn't done it since.
The math ain't mathin', is it?
Daniel Weeb was returning kicks in university, right?
And in preseason.
And in preseason games. He was back there too. So that it's gonna be curious for me forever. And of course, Corey and everybody else in the organization is gonna be like, yeah, it's our decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
that
plays with that Canadian depth, the receiver, right? You know, him out and Duncan Busby. Now we're going into that barrel, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
Already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Week four of the season.
They've gone from a position of strength to a position of weakness, right? They're Canadian receivers now.
Well, yeah, hopefully it's not long-term for Sam Emelis, and it's maybe a tweaked ankle or something they can. But when you're looking at the Canadian depth, what do we got? Benjamin Walls is next, who's a junior. Not sure about that one.
I like the three-headed monster.
Might have to flip some
ratio. They had a couple drops tonight,
around.
Too, though, all of them, right? Well, not Schaefer Baker didn't.
Well, Jalen Johnson got the fumble. Yeah. Keyshawn Johnson got a drop. And then Jalen Johnson made a ridiculous catch. Keyshawn had an amazing catch, too, for the touchdown as well. But, yeah, just those details. And you heard from head coach. Yeah. It's those details. Got to tighten things up. Okay, let's try Jace again on the fan line. Jace, what are you thinking this evening?
Well, you boys know I called in last week about the return for the touchdown off the field goal, and now this week I'm calling in about that punt return for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it just our defense on the kick teams that are just not up to standard, or like what is it that's just holding us back and just letting? Because that's two games in a row now that a kicking team has let up a touchdown. And Jamie, you know I'm not a football guy. I'm a hockey guy. So just educate me here on either what we're doing wrong, or like Brendan said earlier, if Toronto's blocking is that good, or what's
it is.
Going
Janarian
on?
Grant, he is a special human being, returning kicks. But this is also, and Belton, you can talk to it.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to depth again. When you take off 16 players from last year's team, who's replacing them? Because your depth guys are your special teams players.
Right, and if those guys are gone, you still got to learn how to play the position and everything, right? And
yep.
I do think it's a will and a want to get down on that field, you know, to make those plays, especially on special teams, right? And again, yeah, Janarian Grant, he is a playmaker. I guarantee you he's going to score probably 3-4 more touchdowns this year.
Probably.
I would guarantee that. He's going to score more. He could have scored a couple more.
Almost tonight. A couple more, yeah. One of our callers was saying that, right? They had it set up to be a block away.
I saw it, Daryl.
I know. Like, you were saying that when you walked in.
Man.
Well, it was the punter. The punter stopped him on that play.
Yes, that's who it was.
It was Chapman.
Yep. Yeah. That's who stopped him.
Yep.
Because I was like,
well, somebody caught his heel and tripped him up a bit, but Chapman had to come in and clean it up. Also, that would have been
the one, Jamie.
Yep. Yeah. Mm. It pays to have guys who might have played some Aussie rules football as kickers that know how to get out there and tackle.
Hey, we're talking good about the kickers tonight. Ain't the problem is the kicker.
Only when they play well.
Coming up next, man, is Alex Hale going to be on Beasts and Beefs tonight?
On the good side.
Let's get to it coming up here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. -34 is the final. This is the Green Zone post-game show. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis and Belton Johnson. Of course, Beasts and Beefs coming up, Game Warriors, Unsung Heroes, plus more time for your calls on this Friday night on your thoughts with the Rough Riders. And a little bit of a disappointing effort tonight for the Riders against the Toronto Argonauts. Their first loss of the season as we go back to Mosaic Stadium, and media, including Britton Gray, catching up with Trevor Harris on his thoughts tonight.
Yeah, just a few plays here, a few plays there, and like we talked about after the game, the only thing guaranteed in pro football is adversity, and the great teams just respond better than the others, and we got to make sure we watch the film. You know, we've been able to overcome the mistakes in the first couple weeks, and this week we weren't. I know we shot ourselves in the foot, you know, all three phases really, so we got to make sure we come back, watch the film, get better from it, and respond next week.
You talked about your main focus being this team becoming what it's going to be at the end of the season. So what do you take from a game like this?
Yeah, we see how we respond. And, you know, it's easy to respond and come back and work hard when you win and overcome the mistakes and you end up winning the game. And so, you know, I know the makeup of this team will respond. Tremendous focus, tremendous work ethic, and come back and get better next week. But it's always good to just to make sure of it. And so... But I know the DNA of this locker room, and that's exactly what we'll do.
Is there a perspective, though, that you have to carry of this is early in the season and this is a new team and you still have lessons to learn, as opposed to saying, oh, this is last year's team, we have a lot of carryover, we've already learned those lessons? Do you have to sort of have that perspective?
Of course. Yeah, it's a brand new team. And like we talked about last year during the early parts of the season, it was, you know, we got to become that team that's going to be there in the end, and that's exactly what we're doing this year is doing that. And no team, to my knowledge, has gone undefeated, and so we took a loss. They did a good job tonight. You got to tip your hat to Toronto. I thought they did a good job defensively, and shoot, even in special teams, they did a good job. Offensively, they did a good job, and so. But we were in the end. We kept fighting, and that's kind of the makeup of this group. Is you won't see any quit in this team, and. I believe we recover the onside kick, we win the game. And that's, if you don't believe that, then something wrong with you as a leader of a team. And so, you know, hats off to Toronto. They did a great job. They're well coached, very good team, good personnel. But we got to make sure that we come back next week and respond.
The depth was tested. What were your thoughts on Conley and Daniel Weeb and how they contributed?
They did a great job. Mims did a great job. Daniel Weeb, stud, as we talked about in training camp. You know, Q did a great job in the backfield, had some explosive runs, and got a nice touchdown there. Outside zone, was able to cut back and make a nice play. Yeah, it was good. But obviously, we've got things to improve on.
Are you expecting Toronto to be blitzing as much as they did tonight?
I'd have to watch the film to kind of verify how much they blitzed. They were able to do a good job. You know, they made us spit the ball out a little bit quicker, maybe once to a couple times with what they were able to do and generate. But, you know, those are the things that we've got to find ways to get better at. And, you know, I'm going to take a look, make sure I'm moving in the pocket well enough to make sure that I'm helping out the O-line. And they're going to do a good job of coming back and making sure that they're doing a good job in protection rules and whatnot. And so, and the receivers will make sure we're doing a good job of sight adjusting and hot and make sure we're on the same page with route combinations and whatnot. And so we're all going to look at the film and see how we can get better.
A few days ago at your locker, you talked about the importance of being on the P's and Q's, and if you're not, any team in this mm-hmm. can get you. Is this game a case in point?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, like I said, all three phases we took our turns. And, you know, they had a return for a touchdown in the special teams game. Offensively, they were able to generate that touchdown late in the first half. We threw an interception in the red zone, a miscommunication with Sam and I. And, you know, we kicked a couple field goals. And so we've got to make sure that we finish those drives off with touchdowns. And then we had a ball late in the game where we get the ball back and have an opportunity. And unfortunately, we turn it over. And so, like I said, we all took our turns on this team. And, you know, you're going to look at this, and this is a team loss. And that's kind of how we look at this no matter what the score is, if it's a 10-7 game or a game like tonight or anywhere in between super high scoring game. It's really, we lost, and we're going to take a look at how we can get better because complementary football is the name of the game in pro football. If we can stay on the field and keep our defense off the field, that's going to help them more. And if the defense can generate two and outs and the special teams can generate great turn over the field or flipping the field for us, then obviously we're going to be in a better position. So we're all going to take a look and be better.
That is Trevor Harris, quarterback of the Saskatchewan Roughriders tonight in a losing effort. He did throw for over 400 yards, although about 70 of those came on that final drive. Mm-hmm. We're playing a little loosey-goosey with the secondary of the Toronto Argonauts. But 409, two touchdowns, and his first interception of the season was in the end zone early in the football game, trying to hit Sam Emilis. Undercut thereby, who was that?
McFadden.
Yeah, McFadden. Mm-hmm. Undercut him on that one. But a shout out to Conley and Daniel Weeb scoring their first professional touchdowns in the Canadian Football League, both with the Riders tonight. As right now, it's time for Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs.
From chop blocks and dirty hits to big time catches and fans in the stands.
That was a good old Southern spanking right there. Mm-hmm. I love every bit of it.
You never know what'll catch Belton's attention. It's Belton's Beasts and Beefs.
This is when Belton Johnson tells you what he really liked and what he really did not like about tonight's football game. Where do you want to begin? The good news or the bad news? Well,
start with the good.
The good news? Okay, not a lot of beasts, but let's get to the beasts.
First quarter, Josh Woods.
Hey, the first interception of the year.
Right. Couldn't see the number, but
I thought it was Thurman, and I said, "Oh, Thurman's gonna get a pick." And I'm like, "See, I got it right." Oh, wait, never mind. That's Josh Woods.
I thought it was Brooks. I'm like, "Yeah,
the guy in a white jersey."
Yeah, the guy in the white jersey there.
Yeah.
The kicker made all his kicks. I like that, right?
But that's he didn't make a kick above 35 yards.
He was what four? He made six kicks in total, right? Two field goals. Four extra points, I believe.
Yeah. Six for six.
Look at the positive thing.
Way to go, Belton.
Yeah, yes, he did. Way to go. He did make all his kicks.
He kept my blood pressure down today.
There you go.
And you said he would. That's even more amazing that you had faith in a kicker and he came through for you.
Well, he's happy because he got him like 3 points when it comes to the bold predictions from the pregame show.
Mm-hmm. Well done, Belton.
Is that was that it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Here's the biggest beast for me.
Okay.
What a hole and a great run by Conley in the second quarter there, fella. That thing parted like the freaking Red Sea, man.
He can motor, can he?
It was this blocking scheme, right? And you heard Trevor Harris state there they was running zone, and he just saw it. And he hit it, man, with the power there to get across, you know, and I think that's when they had taken the lead there and everything, right? Well,
yep.
They had taken the lead back there in the second. But again, that run, the vision by Conley, and again, I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of him, you know, with just a different type of runner. He looked like a little scat back there to me.
How was he with protection? Because he wasn't in it a little bit, and Trevor Harris got sacked a little bit more than usual.
Yeah, I thought they had Bertrand in a lot for some of the protections and everything.
There was one sack where I'm like, of course, we're not in the meeting, so we don't. Yep. But it seemed like Hardrick crashed hard inside. And the guy that hit him was the outside guy. And I'm thinking, if he's crashing hard inside, because Conley stepped up inside too, would that have been Conley's assignment? If the tackle's going hard inside, wouldn't
somebody naturally better get that outside there?
Protect the outside.
Yeah.
And I would assume that would be the running back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's.
I'm assuming Hardrick was right. And the that's young what running I'm gonna, back that's, is wrong.
That's what I'm going to assume. And when he came right to the sideline, they. Andrew Harris grabbed that iPad real quick.
Yep.
So, but overall, he like showed some flash.
He did.
Absolutely, he did.
And what a run. Wow.
So, the touchdown run is first of his career for Conley is the biggest beast for the Riders tonight. What do we got for beefs, Belton?
All right, here we go. All right.
Settle it.
Okay. Grab a seatbelt. Okay.
Grant returns that with the punt back for a touchdown in the first quarter there.
Play the game.
Yeah. That's the first note I got in there. Trevor Harris, again, throws the interception in the red zone, picked off by McFadden there.
Yeah.
Second quarter. Did y'all listen or watch that game, what it was called, Guess Where Gaynor Is?
On the pipes when he goes down?
No, not the
parks. What park is he in? Or where is he in the province? Okay.
I thought they made that too easy.
Where was he? I didn't know.
Well, again, you know, it's somewhere in the province. I think Tisdale. It was the 1,000 miles of snow.
And the other options were like Banff and Whistler.
It was Whistler and Lake Louise.
Lake Louise,
And I'm like, Duh. Like,
no mountain peaks in the background?
But just, you want the competition to be a little tougher for the free prizes at Mosaic Stadium.
How could you tell it was Gainer? He's wearing a white jersey. You couldn't see his number.
I couldn't see that either. There.
Might have been Gunner, for all we know.
Yeah.
The mascot of the HMCS Regina.
As long as it's not wearing a number.
What else we got here? Chad Kelly, Common for a touchdown before half there, right? The Argos went up 20-17. Oh, defense needs work. Missed tackles, secondary, endless at returner, face mask by Brooks, Jalen Johnson's fumble. But again, my biggest beef, it was in the first quarter. The defensive line, somebody missed a sack. And I wasn't sure who it was because I
couldn't,
I couldn't see the freaking number, man. Yeah. I'm squinting my eyes and is that Pate? No, who is that? Like
Evans.
We watched that five times.
Did you? I could not tell.
And it was until the one angle from the behind where we're like, oh, that okay, we can actually see Evans in the green lettering. That was it was Evans. I know exactly the play you're talking
about. That's my beef because I couldn't tell. I'm with the other alumni guys up there. We're all squinting, look, and you know, well, the box is right beside you guys, and we're squinting, looking, and then the Jumbotron, I couldn't tell, and I just said, screw it. I don't know who who missed the sack.
There's a few of those.
Oh, that was a lot of missed sacks, man.
In the Riders' defense, they're pretty happy that we couldn't see their numbers because there were a lot of guys who missed tackles.
Yeah, film session is going to be a treat for them because it's like the coaches are going to have a hard time ISOing who's who.
Uh-huh. Who is that guy? What number is that? We asked that all the innocent. Time.
I couldn't tell.
Did anybody out there like the jerseys tonight? Let us know on the text line. Yes? Like, really? And this is a thing when you want to identify the stars of the game and people are watching and they're all going, who was that?
Yeah. I couldn't tell.
Who made that catch? Was that Keyshawn Johnson? Who fumbled it?
Right. And don't get in a pile.
The broadcasters screwed it up. They blamed Daniel Weeb for that fumble.
Yeah, Weeb got blamed. And the camera showed him coming off the field after it wasn't him who fumbled.
I'm like, what? That wasn't Daniel Weeb. Weeb wasn't wearing green shoes. And it was like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
That's Jalen Johnson. Uh-huh. Anyways.
I couldn't tell, man.
Desmond Evans gets the biggest beef because he missed a sack and the jerseys.
Good to see it. I'm trying to figure out who to blame.
Coming up, Game Warriors, Unsung Heroes, and we want to hear from Daniel Weeb. The Sasky kid scored his first touchdown tonight. We'll hear that as well on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson. Let's get right to the Game Warriors.
Warriors, come out to play.
From big plays, big catches, and big hits. Now, Game Warriors.
Each and every week here on the Green Zone postgame show, we give you the offensive and defensive game warriors for the two teams. And by rule, we always start with the winning team. And that's the home side, the Toronto Argonauts.
Yeah, and usually I try to say, well, we don't always pick quarterbacks unless they're outstanding. And Chad Kelly had a good game, but I don't like Chad Kelly.
Well, I know who I'm picking for game warrior.
Yeah,
for
Tyler Common.
Yeah.
82. Yep. They threw in his direction 10 times, so they were looking for him a lot, but he caught five of them, 89 yards, including two touchdowns, including that one right at the end of the first half. That was a huge one. Right? That's his touchdown, right?
Yeah, well, and he scored the one at the end of the game,
too. So two pretty important touchdowns.
40.
So you guys going to – Jamie, you're okay with him being the Toronto Argonauts?
Oh, 100%. Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Good. I usually have to get control over that. You're like Donald Trump saying, I can't say those things.
Did you just compare me to Donald Trump?
You're censoring things. I'm not allowed to say that.
Oh, man.
You want to talk about the reflecting pool?
Wow, Jay. Donald Trump.
Did that just happen?
Yeah, it happened.
He's He's going to turn off my microphone.
Oh, man. I lost one co-host today. I don't need to lose another one.
Locker. Me and Locker going down the road together.
No, you just have to go on a different Rocco station, Daryl.
Oh, that's, yeah. There's a few of them around now and all in the province, right?
So, yep, absolutely. Okay, let's get to the offensive game warrior of the Riders.
Keyshawn Johnson did drop one, but he also made some pretty fine catches.
That touchdown catch was ridiculous.
Yeah, wasn't it? 112 yards on 10 catches and a touchdown. So that's a... We've given it to, didn't we give the first one to Emelis, the second one to Keyshawn, Ken Schaefer Baker, and now to Keyshawn Johnson.
Yep.
So the big three in three games have been the main receivers and the offensive game warriors for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
All righty. There's your offensive game warriors as we go to the defensive game warrior.
What's his first name? Number 28, James Caesar, that defensive back. Man, he's everywhere tonight. Six defensive tackles, I think three knockdowns from what I got. So, and the including one late in that fourth quarter was a huge one. I haven't heard that much about him, but he's a pretty fine player. And those are the type of guys we'll be watching all season. He's a tremendous football player.
Great salad, too.
Yeah, great salad. He spells it differently, though. I've never seen Caesar spelled C-E-A. Isn't it always C-A-E?
I guess so. He's a rookie. That's why you've never heard of him before.
I gathered that.
So
thanks, Jamie. He's a good one. I like the way he played, and those are the guys who you notice, and even the broadcasters are talking about him, and you say, "Watch this guy. He's around the play all the time,
mm-hmm.
and a huge couple of huge knockdowns."
For the Saskatchewan Rough Riders defense, who are we going with?
Well, I'm going to have Josh Woods. That was a big interception that they didn't turn into something. That was a huge play in the first quarter, and that's where they set up punting out of their end zone, and they could have given up a safety, but he stopped that game-opening drive, which we thought was going to be a huge spot, but he also made six defensive tackles. And other than that one big touchdown run by Hicks, the Argonauts had a lot of trouble running, and they were going in his direction quite a bit. So I think Josh Woods deserves to be the Saskatchewan Roughriders defensive game warrior.
There you have it. The first turnover of the season for the Saskatchewan Roughriders was James Woods. There's our offensive defensive game warriors here on the postgame show. But we're going to go back to Mosaic Stadium. We want to hear from the guy who scored a touchdown tonight, his first of his career from the University of Saskatchewan, Daniel Weeb.
Yeah, it was exciting. You know, I dream of doing that, being able to play in a game, pro game for sure. So it meant a lot. Obviously, you want to get that win. So that stings not being able to get that done, but it was exciting.
How did it feel to get that first touchdown for you? I know it's a loss, bittersweet, but to get that.
Yeah, super exciting. Like I said, I've been dreaming of these moments since a kid, and be able to do it with the Riders, it means everything. Being a hometown kid, so yeah, extremely exciting.
What's the reality of it like compared to the dream?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of everything I imagined and more at the same time. Still hasn't really set in. It's kind of crazy just be thinking about just that, you know, it's really, we're living it right now, which is crazy. So it's been awesome, and yeah, excited to just keep going. And, just keep getting better.
Can you take me through those first few seconds, crossing the goal line, bedlam after that? What's that like?
Just pure excitement. You know, obviously I want to be helping out the team as much as I possibly can. And to be able to be putting points on the board means a lot. And it takes everyone. You know, that doesn't happen without the other guys doing their job too and leading up to it. So it means everything just to be helping out the team. I want to be the best teammate I can be every single play.
You really drove hard to the end zone.
Yeah, you know, it's always close, and I said, I got to get in there. Got to find a way to get in there.
How did that pop you took you feel? Because you got hit pretty good when you crossed that goal line.
Honestly, so excited. I didn't really feel anything. I was just hyped to be in there.
That is Daniel Weeb, the former Husky, in his first ever CFL game. Finds the end zone. I know there's
crumpled on.
Oh, did he? Yeah. But that shows right how tough a kid he is.
Yeah, he is. And should have been returning punts.
He did.
Yeah, I know. He returned two punts. Returning all the punts.
Unfortunately, it was after Sam Amelis got hurt returning punts. Now, coming up next, our unsung heroes and a wrap, and see how everybody did on bold predictions. One of us is going to be happy. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All right, let's put a bow on a Friday night with the Riders dropping their first of the season 40-34 to the Toronto Argonauts at Mosaic Stadium. as we need to get to the unsung heroes.
They weren't the game warrior, but they definitely made an impact. Time to sing the praises of the game's unsung heroes.
Daryl Davis, what do we got for the unsung hero, the Toronto Argonauts?
Well, I know that they gave up 400 passing yards, but I also picked Andrew Chatfield as to be the guy who's going to eat for the Argonauts, and he had four defensive tackles and a sack. Sacking Trevor Harris is no small feat. I'm giving him the unsung hero for the Toronto Argonauts.
There you have it, the unsung hero for the Argos. Who's the unsung hero for the Saskatchewan Roughriders?
I'll let you guys toss the coin on this one. Ali Saad was in there quite a bit, a tackle for a loss, had a sack, three tackles, one for a loss. But I also like the Daniel Weeb was talking to us, scored his first touchdown, had some punt returns. You know, this guy scoring a touchdown in his first game, kind of a need.
Conley did too.
I know, in his first CFL game.
Mm. Can we tie it for those two?
All three of them. Ali Saad was pretty decent tonight too, and you know, he playing in a rotation too, right? So
outside of that one, I know it was a 61-yard run by their running back, but outside of that.
And Saad, I don't think, was on the field for that one, if I recall correctly, but I might be wrong, but I don't think he was.
That was about it. Yeah. Because that was six carries for 16 yards the rest of the way.
Yes. So
after that one run on the first drive of the game.
Yeah. We can't really have a three-way tie, I don't think, for unsung hero, can we?
Let's give it to the local kid then.
Okay.
Daniel
Weeb. Yeah. Daniel Weeb.
Who should have had another 40 yards returning punts.
Okay. Agreed.
All right.
So passed. Daniel Weeb. Seconded. Carried. There's your unsung heroes. For the Riders and the Argonauts tonight. Bold predictions from the pregame show. Quali Conley got the start. Thomas Bertrand-Houdon had a couple of snaps. Total yards for both of them. It was 59 for Conley. Belton was the lowest at 82. It was 28 for Thomas Bertrand-Houdon, and Daryl said 30, so he gets the point. Biggest play from either was 18 yards, and Belton said 21. So Belton's got 2 points on that one. No interceptions yet for the Riders. Who gets the first one? Nobody picked Josh Woods. How many did they get tonight? They got one, Josh Woods. Belton and I get a point for that. When it was in the first quarter, and Daryl's the only one that said it would be in the first quarter. So Daryl gets the point there. And for the kicker tonight,
Belton gets some points here.
Makes 6. Daryl and Belton said 5. Misses 0. Belton said 0. Shortest miss, he didn't miss, so Belton gets the point there too. Longest make was 36 yards. I said 42 at the lowest, so I do get a point. I only got 2 points tonight. Daryl got 3. Belton's got 6.
All right.
So the standings right now, I'm at 32. Belton's at 26, and Daryl's at 24. So... They're crawling back
and Jamie won't be with us, so
Britain gets the Britain gets Britain, my
Britain scares me.
Britain's filling in for me next week.
All right,
I'm gonna have to strategize against Britain.
I'm in charge of the buttons next week.
Belton. I think you're hosting, but I think Britain should be in charge of the buttons next week.
Okay. I'll just lead the conversation.
Yes.
Our favorite caller may call in.
Right on. All righty. So that's it for us. Of course, the next game day is 5:30 kickoff next Friday. The Green Zone pregame show begins at 3:30. So thanks for all the calls tonight. Thanks to Britton Gray, Chance Behind the Glass. Hey, and if you missed it earlier this afternoon, today's show was the last one for Locker. Shout out to Locker for... Hey, 2 years with me on the Green Zone. He's staying with Rocco Radio, launching a new radio station out of Saskatoon. So I look forward to what they create with Rocco Radio and that new radio station. Launch date to be announced at a later time. By the way, I'm not here next week, as mentioned. So Drew Rabenda will be hosting next week during the Green Zone, helping us out there. And Britton will be... in my chair / Daryl's chair next week for game day.
This has been a long day for you, Jamie. Way to hang in there, buddy.
Man, yeah.
What'd you start at? 2 o'clock.
Might have been earlier, didn't it?
It's 14 hours.
Woo. All right, Jamie. Nice job. You deserve a holiday.
Just gonna lie down now.
Okay. Oh, you get to do the blitz.
You gotta keep going, Jamie.
Yeah. And we get to do a stinger here.
Okay. Want to do an all nighter?
Hey, might
it's
as
like
well.
The olden days, right?
Chance, are you in for an all? No, Chance wants to go. Like,
no.
He's like, no. That's not happening. All right. Now that's it for us tonight. Again, our next game day is next Friday when the Riders take on Ottawa in Ottawa. 3:30 pregame, 5:30 kickoff. Have a great weekend, everybody. Try to stay dry. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.